What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation. Every episode, guaranteed. All in hopes of inspiring you to get out there and have your own open conversations with a friend, a family member, or maybe even your enemy. Each episode, we star a special guest where we have an in-depth, action-packed, often intellectual, spiritual, practically psychedelic, and all-inclusive types of conversation. And we have a good fucking time with it. So folks, you can find us online. We're the Symbiosis Now Network, where there's some links to the podcasts, plural podcasts, because we have a couple others underneath the network blanket. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with our very special guest on the Symbiosis Now podcast. Listener, we have Marco Vasquez right here, aka Marco Polo, aka the Master Barber, here to talk to us about a lot of cool shit today. But what I want to ask you first, bro, because I see you as a man of philosophy. I see you as a man of living your life a certain way because you feel called to live it a certain way. And that's from a distance because I don't know you well. But what is this philosophy that you're after, bro? I feel like you live a philosophy.
You know, man, whenever you're when you're going through a lot of struggles in life, man, you know, you don't really know. I don't know if you feel like there's a certain purpose of you know what you got to give to life and everything like that. So what I really tell myself every day, man, is live life best as you can, give what you could give to this world, help others when you can, just be genuine to this world, man. I mean, we're here for a short period of time, you know, tomorrow's never promised, so why not live it to the best of your abilities and just, you know, give a helping hand when you can?
Folks, I can vouch for that. I feel like every time I've met you, bro, that's what I've seen from you, bro.
Yes, sir. You know, it hasn't been long since we met, man, but, you know, I consider you a really good pal now, you know, and every time I see you, I could just, you know, I could feel a good aura around you and just feel really good to know, you know, there's somebody like you right here by my side that I could, talk to, have a couple of brews with, and just chat.
Oh, yeah, bro. That's what's up, bro. Now, don't get me in trouble now at the bar, bro. I'm not trying to be drinking on the job.
No trouble's here. You know, there's no drinking like that, man. You know, you're too good there, man. We don't need you not being out there, you know.
For sure, bro. I got to keep my head straight. But right now on this podcast, you best believe I got a little alcoholic beverage going on in the background, bro.
There we go.
But because I wanted to talk to you, man, and I feel like every time I talk to you, it's a party, you know, and not literally, like not trashily, classily, bro. Like you said, your philosophy to have a good time, really live life to the fullest. And that doesn't mean pushing your limits to a bad place. That means having a good time, amplifying the scenario when it needs to be amplified, being okay with the lulls when the lulls come, being okay when tragedy strikes. And I think that you're a man of that, and I respect that from a distance and now up close. And I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. I think the listener's super excited to have you on the fucking podcast, bro, because we want to know about your barber skills. I know you'd be fading people up, and I think that you're good at it from a distance, but I follow you on Instagram. I see your shit on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You guys got to follow him. Shout out your name, bro. Marco Polo 50, right?
Yeah, Marco Polo 55, you know, or my barber page, Marco_clips.
That's what's up, bro. And you clip.
Yes, sir. Trying my best, man. Trying my best out there. You know, it's a lot of competition out there, man. No matter what you do in life, there's always going to be competition. But, you know, give it to your best of ability, you know?
Well, I mean, you're good at it, bro. So, like, what made you get into doing that? And how long have you been doing that?
So I've been at it roughly 3 years and some change now, coming up to 4 years. Where did I start, man? Dude, I'm living the dream with this, man. This is something since a little youngin', you know, out there in Reedley, California, you know, just always wanted to do this, man. You know, just always, you know, we'll see a couple of people out there just chopping it up. You know, I just would go to the barbershop, get those good barbershop vibes. You know, if you know, you know, those barbershop vibes, those are one in a million, man. You cannot, you know, you can't take that away from anybody. You know, we have people who come to the shop just to come in there, just to chop it up, just to, you know, hang out with the guys, be with the boys. You know, it's a feeling you won't feel anywhere else, man. It's really good. So when I started about 3 years and some change. What really got me into it, man, is, you know, I had all these odd jobs. I had all these jobs that I was doing. Last job I worked for was actually in Amazon. Shout out to Jeff Bezos out there.
Jeffrey Bezos.
Yep. You know, Amazon got me in. You know, started working there in Fresno, doing what I was doing. But ever since I was a little kid, man, I would always see people cutting hair, and I always thought, you know, I feel like I could do that. I could go out there, cut some hair, chop it up with, meet some new people. But I never really felt that it was in me, I guess you could say. I didn't feel like I had the right tools to do it. I wasn't capable of doing it. You know, just knocking yourself out, being your worst critic, you know.
For sure.
And so, you know, like I said, working all these odd jobs and everything. And so one day I looked at myself in the mirror, man, and I was really looking at it. I said, man, why am I waking up, struggling, you know, forcing myself to go to work whenever, you know, there's this, I could be doing all the stuff that I really want to be doing and, you know, never have a complaint in the world. So from that day, it was, I believe the exact day was June 15th, 2018 is when I decided to do my barber journey.
Woo!
So, yeah, man. So, you know, that was the day I decided, hey, went up to Amazon, said, hey, I'm going to be planning my 2 weeks, you know. Boom, put in my 2 weeks, went out to different barber schools, see what I could find. Barber school I went to was actually Federico's College, located in Fresno, California.
Federico. You know,
yeah, so I went that's over what's there. What's up, bro? Yeah, I went over there, and that's, you know, went in there, talked to him, enrolled in September of 2018, and haven't looked back since, man.
Wow, bro. So, like, obviously, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. You're thinking, what the fuck am I going to do with my life? But then you realize it's something you're already doing, and it's something that you're fucking good at and that you can make some money at, yes. But people need someone that's good at that to do that. It's a niche that needs to be filled out there, bro. Any barber that I feel like I met, they have a style about them. But sometimes the style is like, I don't know, kind of basic and just real stiff. To make money and to pump as many people through this door as possible. Those are the places that a lot of people don't like to go to anymore. People like to go to a place where there's personality. Your barber, you kind of text them or you hit them up and they have this character and this style and this cool approach. Then you know they're going to hook you up. They know that in the sense of set you up with a cool ass look, whatever that is. Even if it's the same thing you get every week, they got you and you trust them. There's trust there. It's really a niche to be filled, bro, in the world. Like, we love that shit, bro. We out here, especially, I think females know very well, and I'm not trying to make it about gender, but, like, point is females know, like, they like to go get their nails done and their eyelashes done and their hair done and all this shit. Well, guys like to get a fucking haircut and make it look fresh. Yep. That's what guys like to do. And everybody likes that look. Like, I don't know. I had my hair long for a while, and people would judge the fuck out of me. And now I have like this short haircut, and I feel like people treat me hella nice, bro. They're all like, "Oh, you look so clean cut."
More relevant now, right?
Yeah, dude, it's fucking hilarious. But you know, that's why I keep it clean, because people treat me differently. Plus, I don't know, I like to have less maintenance, and it's cool to play with it. I cut my own hair, but it's fun to play with it. I could imagine cutting other people's hair, but I feel like I like cutting my own hair because I can shape my head the way I want it to kind of look. And I can sculpt away what I need to sculpt away to make it look kind of like, you know, fit. It's never perfect, but that's just it. Like, I just get by. You do this professionally for people that come to you every day, bro. They need you.
Yep. It's a craft, man. It's a craft. It's you know, you're creating your own craft, your own style. You know, this is with people coming out of the barbershop, you know, they're representing you and what the work you put in. So when you're doing it, you never want to give half-ass or, you know, feel like you just could squeeze by and just get them done. Or like you said, you know, people, you know, there's plenty of barbers out there who are just pushing people in, getting that extra bread that they could get in, you know, not caring really. But with me, when I really got into this, you know, it was never really about the money. It was never really about being famous out there. It was none of that stuff. Whenever I got into this, this was something I felt like I could really, you know, help with people. You know, I wanted to help people and help people in my own way. So with my way is when I get somebody in there, I give them my all. I give, you know, my full attention to them. I make sure, you know, that they leave out of here confident more than they came in. And that was my big purpose is, you know, how can I help somebody? You know, I'm not going to be the guy to be a paramedic. I'm not going to be an officer. I'm not going to be a firefighter. But in my own way, I feel like this is another way of helping somebody by giving them their confidence back and, you know, making their self-esteem higher.
I feel that, bro. And I think that's exactly what you provide. That's what's up, bro. That's some deep shit right there. I appreciate you sharing that with us, man.
So, you know, there's, you know, you could tell the barbers who are in it just to get these people to come by, you know, just make that extra cash and stuff, you know, and not knocking them off, you know, maybe that's their desire in this industry, you know, who knows, you know, everybody has their own purpose of why they did this. I can only speak for myself and my purpose of, you know, why I did this and why it makes me happy and why I wake up every day and do what I do. And, you know, just the reason why everybody else wakes up and does what they do, you know, everybody has their own purpose of, you know, why they love what they're doing.
Yeah, bro, that's some wild shit too. Like people out there, when you're seeing someone with a fresh cut and you think, oh man, that handsome dude got a fresh cut. You got to wonder, someone did that. Most of the time it wasn't the person that has the haircut that cut it themselves. Most of the time they go to someone else, man. And they could have went to Marco right here, for all we know.
Yeah, you know, we get in people, we get people coming in with all sorts of styles, you know. You name it, we'll do it. Even if I wouldn't know how to do it, you know. I have my brothers out there in the shop who helped me out with it, you know. That's one thing I really like about, you know. Another reason why I like coming into this industry is because, you know, you build a bond with the people that you work with. You know, you're seeing them majority of the week, you know. I feel like I spend more time in the barbershop than I do at home, you know. You can ask my fiance, sometimes it's a struggle for me to come home, you know, because I'm out there at the barbershop just, you know, meeting people like you, you know, who just instantly click with and just, man, it's a joy to have.
That's amazing, bro. So what a journey it is, and to become that person that honestly, it's like it's like a skill that no one could take away from you. And you could take, I mean, not to say that you're going to leave the shop or anything that you work at now, but you could. You have this ability to, like, go anywhere with your skill at a certain point. And I think that kind of freelance behavior is really important in our society and our culture and our economy right now, because we never know what's going to come, bro. We have to be able to pivot, and we have to be able to run with shit and make the best out of what we know. And sometimes that's choosing the less traveled route, but that's usually the best route to go. A lot of people want to get that safe job, that union job, whatever, which is cool. But sometimes it pays them shit for a long time, and they don't feel any purpose in it. They wake up every day fucking hating going to work, like you said, working those whatever jobs, whatever. They were not necessarily whatever jobs. Some people could make a career out of it. But me, bro, I'd be getting all depressed and shit trying to work at Big Lots back in the day. Like, what was I doing, bro? I was throwing fucking mattresses around and couches and shit alone, breaking my back at a young age to, like, what, make a couple fucking more bucks an hour? Like, and it really wasn't even good. I was still stretched hella thin, barely fucking eating. Like, what is that? Like, why is our society so normal, like, so normalized to that? Are we conditioned to think that that's normal? I kind of think so. But then it's like, oh, maybe I mismanaged my funds, but I'm pretty frugal, bro. I'm pretty good with my money. I've gotten a better relationship with my money over the years, especially over the recent past year, because I've become more of a freelance person thinking I need to be able to learn skills for me forever, wherever I go, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, dude. I would be lying, you know, if I said I didn't have no doubts at the beginning of this journey that I'm going on. Because just like you said, you know, you want to be safe, you know, whenever you're going into a career, or, you know, whenever you're making that money, you know, because once you get older, it's not just about you no more, you know. From what I know about you, you know, you have your spouse, you have your child now as well, you know. You want that stability and be able to, you know, rely on that income and make sure that you're getting that income. And
oh, bro, I'd do anything for money, bro. Like, I'll suck dick for money, bro. Like, yeah, exactly. No, I'm just kidding. Someone listening is like, whoa, turn it off.
Your family, man.
I gotta feed my family, bitch. Like, you know,
yeah,
but dude,
you gotta feed your family, man. That means you gotta feed, you know.
Hey, and the reality though is sometimes that is literally what happens, bro. Like, that's what people do. Sometimes that's literally what they do to put food on the table, man. Like, but I'm just joking. But I you know, that's why I've picked up bartending. Like, I knew it was a serious avenue. I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to do that. I need a creative outlet. I need a job that I don't hate going to, that I can have fun with, you know? And I want to do something that helps benefit me and helps me learn skills that I could take anywhere. And not to say I'm leaving the wake house, but I'm, you know, like, to have those skills is really important. And everybody knows you build things at places. And the wake house in Reedley right now is the place where I'm building my fucking momentum of being a legitimate bartender. And it's a lot of fun, bro. And I get trained by one of the best, you know, that I've ever met and seen in real life. And it's a blast. But I can only understand that avenue of craft compared to your avenue of craft, which they're very different, but they're very unique and they're very similar in a lot of ways. They both have the word bar in them, a barber and a bartender. You can drink beer at a bar, barbershop now, exactly. Right? You know, at a bar.
Man, sometimes I feel, man, I feel like that's a bar itself right there, man. You'd be surprised all the alcohol that we could contain over there, man.
Oh, I bet. That's what's up, bro.
Yeah, man. And can I just say, man, with you being at Wake House now, man, it gives so much more life there, man. I've been there a couple of times prior to you being there, you know, not knocking off Wake House because, you know, Wake House is the shit. That's my go-to right there.
Shout out,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, man, but with you in there, man, it gives it so much more life, man. So much, you know, you can feel more positive energies in there and more like you actually want to sit down there and conversate with people as well. You know, you give that aura of like, man, you know, this is somewhere I really want to be on a Friday or Saturday night.
And that's kind of like
a Tuesday night.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my MO. That's like my modus operandi is kind of like wanting to be in the shit, like be in the mix. Like I like to be included and I want to be there for my community. But I feel like in a lot of ways, the community, you know, has not like the way wherever I was trying to fit in before. Right now, I feel like I finally found my place, and I love the Wake House, dude. Something about the Wake House, a lot of people don't know. I got married at the Wake House, bro, in 2019. Oh, wow, like, I used to party there when they had pool tables. We get fucking turnt over there. Shout out to the Wake House. And then we walk our drunk asses home across town and somehow not getting an altercation, hopefully. And, like, I think fondly of the memories I've had there. So I'm trying to now harness it into a great, momentous place to maintain and hopefully have for Reedley, because Reedley needs that spot right on the edge of the river to be able to go have a couple beers and blow some steam off and go relax at for a couple hours or see some live music at, because that's what's coming this season. And I'm not even like a brick in the wall there, but I feel like I'm shouting that out because that's something real around here that is cool and momentous. But thank you for saying that, bro, because that's what we're going for over there right now.
Yeah, man, you know, just, you know, owners did right by having you aboard and bringing you in, man, because, you know, I just want to say you guys are heading to the right direction, and, you know, I'm excited to see the future and what you guys bring to it.
What's going down, podcast listener? I imagine that you drive a car when you're out and aboutin'. You might even have a motorcycle, per se. And I think that most people that live in the society we live in have a home of some sort. On those things, do you have insurance? That is my question to you. And if you do not, it seems like it's time to get you some. What are you doing out there listening to a podcast? Because if you are, at the same time simultaneously, you could be calling Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance. to provide you with top-notch service. Give them a call at 559-638-3800. Do you not have a license? That doesn't seem to be a problem. He can set you up. Do I know how? I have no idea, but he can set you up. He claims to know. Are you anything like me? And when you were younger, got into some trouble, had a DUI, and needed an SR-22 insurance? Maybe? I hope not. But if you do, Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance can set you up with the free SR-22. You can find Alfredo looking sharp in the suit on 998 North Manning Avenue in Reedley, California. Or you can give him a jingle down there at the shop at 559-638-3800. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he will set you up ASAP with all your insuring needs. Thank you, Alfredo, for sponsoring the podcast. And now let's get back to the show, folks. I got to ask you then, since we're on the subject, bro, what's up with booze, bro? What do you like to drink, Marco Polo? What's your favorite type of drinks, bro? You like beer? You like draft beer? You like domestic beer? You like fucking cocktails? You like shooters? What do you like, bro?
Oh, man, you put anything in the cup, I'm drinking it, my man. I'm drinking it.
But but you tend to have some things that you'd be like, I definitely would buy that, or I definitely have that, or no?
You know, my go-to, man, it has to be tequila, man. That's, I'm Mexican, dude. That's every Mexican's go-to right there. It has to be, you know, that's, oh my God, that is like bread and butter right there, man. That is the best thing to us.
That's what's up, bro. Tequila is something else, and it's definitely something that I've been growing a relationship with, because before I worked at the bar, I never cared for it. I never had good tequila, though, you know?
Oh, my God, man. If you're drunk enough, tequila tastes like nothing, man. It's just going down smooth.
See, I don't want to be that drunk then. Off of something else and then jumping in tequila.
And I feel like tequila is really making, you know, a run in this, you know.
It is.
Alcohol business, you know, we have people like The Rock, you know, making his own tequila right now and, you know, distributing it, and it's selling out pretty quick, you know. I'm really surprised on the way that it's going to.
Yeah, bro, it's pretty wild. George Clooney with his Casamigos and shit. Like, God, no one thinks about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious.
It's a hit, man. It's really a hit.
Yeah, it really is, man. Yeah, it's really interesting to ultimately just kind of have a different understanding of booze and the history of alcohol and booze and beer and the different types of beers and the different styles of this and that and cocktails and how to make things. It's really something else. It's really something that is very close to humanity, has evolved. It's almost been, you could almost say it's partially to blame for humanity's evolution, because so much of humanity has been drinking alcohol in different forms, liqueurs, liquors, whatever, and all these different forms for so long, and it was altering their state of consciousness constantly. Like, we could almost say, like, what if whoever type of humans made the pyramids, once they started drinking too much booze all the time, they started getting shittier and shittier, and they just stopped trying to build that stuff, and they were like, we got to make money, though. Like, you know, who knows, bro? Well, I'm half kidding, obviously, but, like, it's been such a staple in humanity's diet, sad to say, that it's now this thing that people forget. There's all this lore and this history that's attached to it. And now we just kind of pimp it out and make these amazing tasting, super balanced cocktails, which is super cool. But it comes from some rugged times, bro, of people mashing random berries with their feet and fermenting them with God knows what kind of yeast, just natural yeast, and people dying because they tried something out that went bad, you know. Who knows, bro? And now here we are where we can import these different liquors, bottles of all kind, beer of all kind from all these different countries from around the world, and have them all centralized in each building, a bar, each central location, just to have access to make whatever drink you want right now. Like, it's amazing. Because imagine like 100 years ago to have something from Italy be like, oh shit, where'd you get this, bro? Now it's just like half the bottles on that shelf are from Italy. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty cool. It's historic. It has a prevalence. It does. I feel the same thing with cannabis a lot, because it has such a prevalent relationship with humanity. Hemp in general, just that plant altogether. Beyond the United States, too. Like, back in the fucking Deze, bro. Like, in the Middle East over there in the Kush Mountains and shit. Like, way back.
And it's so crazy to think about things like coffee. It has this historic prevalence. And I think that hair cutting is somewhere in there too, bro, because people would like to look sharp. Like, look at the fucking Shakespeare days, bro. They'd have like the cool little goatee, bro. Like, what, you think they would go to a barber? Wouldn't they go to a barber?
I back when I was going to barber college, man, we would see pictures from back then, you know, just people actually getting clean cut, shaving. You know, shaving was really big back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like frowned upon if you actually, you know, had a beard. Like nowadays, you know, if people would look at you like, man, who is this guy? Why does he have that going on, you know? You couldn't even rock, like, you know, man, you couldn't rock anything shorter. You couldn't rock anything too long, you know. It was really, like, crazy how strict people were back in the days. So I feel like barbers back then were, you know, really going at it every day, you know, just to make sure that everybody had this clean-cut face, you know, nice trimmed hair. Man, I could only imagine being a barber back in the day. Man, I would probably be too busy before then.
Dude, imagine, for sure. Imagine the shaving cream they'd use. They'd use, like, some plant root that they'd, like, beat down into some fucking ooze.
Exactly, yeah, man. It was nothing like how it is now.
Or they'd take the agave, bro, and they'd, like, scoop a little bit of that out to rub on your face. And then they'd be like, here's some tequila that was made from agave from a couple years back. And then they pull out this fucking sharp-ass blade that's, like, made out of a dried agave leaf. Because, man, if you ever look at those blue agave plants, bro, their fucking leaves or whatever you call them are gnarly. They have these huge pokey-ass spikes on them and shit. They're pretty amazing plants, honestly.
Yeah, man. And it just, you know, going back to the conversation with alcohol, it just, you know, it's surprising, you know, all these things that, you know, people feel like it's, you know, like destroying the world and everything. You would be surprised of how much it actually brings a bond more to people, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've met the people who I've met just by sharing a drink with them, you know, or having a smoke with them, or, you know, just being with them. You know, it starts off a lot of conversations and it brings a lot of bond together, and, you know, it makes humanity way more better, I believe, you know, because without that, you know, what are we going to do? You're not going to have the courage to go up to talk to that girl. You're not going to have, you know, the balls to go, you know, stick up for yourself. You know, it just brings a lot more stuff out of you that, you know, can't say all of it's positive, but there is some positivity that comes out with having a drink with some people or having a smoke with some people. You know, it just, it brings a lot more people closer, and for sure brings a good time out of people. So, I mean, you know, I can't complain about having a drink or two or having a smoke once a night or whatever. So I just feel like, you know, it's something that I really believe that it brought a lot more good than people want to, you know, actually acknowledge.
For sure, bro. You're absolutely right. I feel like it's all relative. And everyone wants to blame something. And for a while, I'll blame alcohol because I'd be mad because I grew up in a situation where alcohol was around me a lot. And I just blame that all the time. And I still kind of sometimes do, only because it does make certain people fucking more depressed. If you're depressed, it makes you more depressed. But dealing with that is a different way to look at it. Is so much that someone is just used to using something way too much, and that's how they deal with it. And in the modern society, we look down upon that because it's dysfunctional. It's harder to function. But it's crazy now because it's like if you decide to, like, go on a run and just be drunk for, like, a couple weeks even, bro, you start, like, not going to work and you lose your job. And then, dude, some people literally go homeless just because of that. It's crazy. And then people are like, oh, this guy couldn't get his shit together. It's like, bro, because he wanted to get drunk for a couple weeks, and in the scheme of his lifetime, it's really not a big deal. And it's so crazy that, like, same thing. People do drugs, man, and shit, whatever. It's sad to see that some people should have a little bit of leeway, sadly, to kind of go off and make sure that I don't know. It sounds weird to have a drug holiday or to, like, be able to get that out of their system. But sometimes people need to. But instead, like, right now, you can't. But what we're talking about is having a good time, having a couple drinks. But sometimes also, even when people say, oh, you know, that person just couldn't stop drinking, Yeah, because it's too accessible, and because sometimes people, that's just how they deal with shit. It's a feature of humanity that's not really great, but it's part of humanity. Like, say if someone has to drink all the time, and that's the only way they're functional. Back in the day, like 100 years ago, and for like hundreds of years, that is the general man was drunk most of the day, in the sense of they were drinking booze of some kind, ales of different kinds, to sustain themselves, and maybe a little water, and maybe a little milk, and then a bunch of cheese and fucking bread and like random shit, you know, whatever they could get. It wasn't so complex. Like, now we have this ability to eat such good food and then, you know, also go to the bar and have a couple of drinks. And that should totally be allowed and okay. And I see police off duty do the same thing. In fact, I see police fucking come and get kind of turnt and, and do, and I can't tell them no, I guess, because, exactly. You know.
Don't get me wrong. You know, there could be a lot of bad coming into it, you know, but you also have to be mindful and, you know, be capable of, you know, how much alcohol you could consume and, you know.
Absolutely.
And if it's going to give you, you know, if you're the type to get mad or you're the type to get depressed, or, you know, if it's just going to be a bad time for you, you know, I'm not, you know, condoning you to go out there and, you know.
No, I get you, bro. It's like, long story short, it's kind of like booze is, it's no, make no mistake, folks. It is a drug and it is powerful, and it can be, you know, just like every substance that there is, like a little weed, people eat mushrooms, you know what I mean? Like myself.
Yeah.
And those are very powerful, like medicines or drugs or whatever way you would like to look at it. But booze, alcohol, is definitely one of them. And it is powerful, bro. And it's literally one of the most addictive and the hardest things to get off of when you're addicted to. But not to put a damper on it, but I'm just saying, like, it is something powerful. And I think it being so prevalent in society, people forget that sometimes. And I know when I was young, bro, like 10 years ago, I would be going off the deep end, bro. I'd be drinking way too much. As much of whatever we could get for the cheapest that we could do. And that was the name of the game. And I didn't understand that alcohol was something to kind of actually be like, oh shit, this is some potent shit. It's supposed to be something to kind of kick back, relax off of, but not take it too far all the time. And I had to learn. But it still should be there for people to use.
Yep.
And luckily it is, because there were times where people took it away. Just like they took away cannabis, just like they took away and said everything else is illegal, even though humanity has used some of those things for a long time for different whatever, ailments, whatever you want to call it, ways to relax, even if that's all it was, you know, to relax. Isn't that something that should be, humans should be allowed to use and have? Like, fuck it. If it's not medicinal, but it helps them relax, like, maybe we should just, like, let them have that. Why is it going to be illegal, like, for them to use it to relax?
If you're not abusing it, I mean, I don't see no problem as to why I can't have a drink here and there, you know. I can't have a smoke here and there, you know. I think as long as you're, like I said again, as long as you're mindful and, you know, you're not trying to use it for no harm or anything, I see no purpose of anybody getting mad at somebody having a drink here and there at the bar, you know, or having a smoke outside, you know, or whatever they're doing.
For sure.
As long as everybody's being safe, you know, and being mindful of others and keeping others out of harm, you know, there's really no harm to be done.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyler Colombaro, the host of the Symbiosis Now podcast, as well as the host of the Cali Ag podcast, which is new. It is launching. It's ready for you to hear. Here's a little intro clip to get you enticed. I hope you can go check it out on Spotify and all the platforms out there. Check it out. Welcome to the Cali Ag Podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of this podcast. This podcast will ultimately be an exploration into all aspects of California agriculture, from the crops, to the land, to the water. Listener, if you were not aware, the state of California provides an unquantifiable amount of produce to the world. We will feature guests on each episode that work and lead the agricultural trajectory and symbiosis within the state of California. So listener, join us. Tell your friends and tell a farmer about the Cali Ag Podcast. This conversation reminds me of belief, which leads me to my next question, bro. Do you believe in aliens, in UFOs, in the other? Do you believe? Because I don't know if I do. Like, I want to believe, bro, but come on now. You know, so people tell me some cool shit, and I'm like, dang, that's what's up, bro. But ain't nobody ever got no evidence. What you seen, though, bro? And I'm not trying to say don't
don't share it. I want you to, if you remember some kind of episode or something that you saw, bro, I want to know. I want people to know and be like, what the fuck, bro? What is that? Or if you haven't, that's okay too. But sometimes people get all nervous and they're like, oh, yeah. Fuck, I don't want to say what I saw one time on air because then they're going to think I'm crazy. It's like, no. I just want to know because I know I've said some things that I've saw that people probably think I'm crazy. But it's like, whatever. That's what I saw. I know it. I don't got to prove it.
No, man, I can't really say, I've seen anything. But as far as believing, man, do bear shits in the woods, man? Do bear shit in the woods?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Man, of course, man, there has to be something else out there, man. You can't say that there can't be anything else out there. You know, the world's, this universe and everything is too big to be known if there's anything else out there.
You see something flying around in the sky?
Yeah, man. I mean, I can't say I haven't, it could have been an airplane or something. But, there's been a couple of times when I'm out there, and on Goodfellow and I'm looking at the sky and I could see something out there. I can't say it's something out of the ordinary. It could have been a plane or something. But, if you really look close enough and if you really pay attention to the sky, man, I feel like there's something you'll be able to catch something every once in a while.
I agree, bro. Especially when you're deep out there, bro. Like you said, out in the country or something where you get a little bit better visibility of the stars, less light pollution around you, and you can really see, dude. Like you see something, like, what is that? And maybe you don't know. Like maybe you're not like, oh, that's a UFO, bro, with a little green dude flying around. Yeah. What if it's just some? What is it? It's an anomaly. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's something else, and it makes you think of the other. It makes you think of, like, how much bigger everything is and could be, and I think that's a beautiful thing, even if no one believes, and they think it's all a crock of shit. But then, when we hear things like on the news recently, where here we are, we're at the end of March, bro, we're about to hit April 1st, like, this weekend, and yeah. I know on the news, bro, at the beginning of March, or the, or so, like, 3 weeks ago, you'd be hearing UFOs, balloons from China floating over, and then UFOs and blah, blah, blah. But they're calling them UFOs. For a while, the government and the news medias, the main medias, were calling it UAPs. And all of a sudden, they're calling it UFOs. Yeah. And then now, here we are 3 weeks later, and I haven't heard anything about that at all. And it's kind of like, it's so obvious that narratives just to distract come up and then go away. I'm not trying to be a fucking asshole, but come on, just like reminisce with me, bro. Like monkeypox, bro. Like,
yeah,
and the masks. Like everyone could say, oh, you need to wear one, but I mean, where are you wearing it? Yeah. I don't see nobody wearing them. Like we could go on and on because like the hornet, the murder hornets, and we could just go on.
God. Yeah, dude. So yeah, man. I feel like there's. There has to be things out there, but, I feel like something else is going to come up on the news to distract you, They don't want you to focus too hard on the possibility of other things being out there, because, of course, it's our government. They want us to think the world is a nice, safe place, paint this pretty picture. But in reality, it's not a pretty picture at all, That's one thing I really don't like is, them trying to distract people and, make people believe or think, that, there can't be nothing else out there.
But, dude, the discussion of UFOs is pretty fucking serious. Like, it's not kind of like it's almost like it's been left in the, well, we don't know. But for some days and weeks there, you were saying, no, for sure, these are unidentified. We don't know what they are. And then we never get a result. It makes people, like, I think, believers by default, even if they never believed before. All of a sudden, they're like, hey, Don Lemon said it on the news, so it's real. Like,
now it at least has people, having a conversation about it. Even the people who didn't once before, now it has them having a conversation, now it has them bringing it into their mind,
It's diluting, it's diluting the intoxication of what people could believe, I think, slowly over time. I think it's conditioning slowly. Yeah. My government fucking trust meter is all fucked. I don't trust it even a little bit. It's always in the red. It's never in the green, bro. I never trust the fucking government. And I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just saying, bro. Clearly, when governmental agencies like the Pentagon even are like, oh, we don't know, and then nothing comes of it, it's like, But you know for sure that we need to go give a bunch of weapons to Ukraine and arm them against the biggest superpower other than us and just be like, well, Russia's an asshole. It's like, what the fuck?
Bro, like, yeah. You're getting us into deep shit, and then you're telling us there's fucking UFOs, and then you're like, oh, no, those aren't real, but we need to send more weapons over here. It's a mind fuck, and it's so crazy to watch people scramble, bro. And every day, no matter what news outlet, they're always talking about something different every day. Even if they're, like, aware that they're against the mainstream media, there's always these shifts in ideas. And it's almost like each one of them every day being so stimulating is diluting the water and the intoxication of ideas slowly to where we're just like used to anything. I feel like I talked about this on one of the last podcasts with Cameron Quiring about how people not believing in anything and having like this really diluted sense of morality in society and there being no status quo to either be with or against because no one really knows what the fuck's going on. It provides this weird sense of like, of panic, I feel like, amongst society ever since the pandemic. And I think it's still kind of lingering. And that's why I think we're down to like believe the war propaganda and stuff because we're still in this like limbo of like, oh my gosh, something's going to happen every day. But if we lean too much into it, like we lean too much into the coronavirus thing. We leaned too much into certain things. We leaned too much into 9/11 when that happened. And don't get me wrong, like we had to do something, blah, blah, blah. But we leaned too much into the war in the Middle East that we just pulled out of. And now we're leaning really hard into the Ukraine-Russian conflict, but we're not trying to pull out. So I think we're leaning into that one. That one's going to follow through. Somehow it's going to be disastrous. But like if we leaned into the monkeypox thing, would it have been bigger than it is? Or was it as big as it was and we just didn't want to hear it anymore? Even though it's a serious fucking disease that's killing people right now, we just don't want to talk about it? Is that what's happening? Are we that nihilistic? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't want to have these conversations about these stuff and with the government. Because, you know, I personally, in my belief, I feel like people are just, you know, they're scared to have that conversation. In reality is that they are scared, you know, because they're scared of the possibility of it actually being true. You know, they're scared of it actually being a big deal, and they won't know how to comprehend with everything or how to, you know, live their life with everything if stuff are true. You know, with people saying, you know, with like it's like with the coronavirus. You know, it's like people didn't really want to talk about it because, you know, I feel like they're scared with it, you know, and, you know, there's going to be people who believe with it, who believe it, who don't believe it, you know, and that's just on everybody's opinion, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, you know, everybody has to say what they want to say about it and stuff, but, you know, some people just don't want to talk about things because, you know, in reality is that they're scared, you know.
For sure, bro. And then the UFO thing takes it to the next level because, like, we witnessed it as a good example that really changed society was the COVID thing. It changed society for a while. It rippled amongst the whole world. Like, literally everyone felt it. And, like, UFO, like, if there's really alien life that's intelligent, that, like, wants to fuck with us and, like, hurt us somehow and go to war with us, right? Because that's almost what the overarching message always feels like. But it's like, what if they're, like, hella cool? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, like they're like got the third eye on lock, bro. And they're like literally Jesus's brother or some shit. And they're like, no, you gotta listen. We gotta set shit up, bro. Like,
They don't want to come out here. Who's to say they don't want to come out here and have a good time with us? Or, you know, they're just trying to learn from us and actually, you know, be peaceful with us. You know, everybody wants to have that title of them wanting to hurt us. But in reality, who knows what they really want to do?
Yeah, bro, they're all just looking for Trump's asshole because everyone's always up his ass, bro, about something, fucking it. That's the narrative now, too, on the news. It's Trump this, Trump that. We're back to that again. It fucking sucks, bro. I fucking hate hearing about it. I hate hearing about any of this bullshit anymore. When we're talking about if UFOs were fucking real and there was alien life that's like wants to fuck with us and hurt us, that's like, that's really important. That would change the way society would live and exist. But instead, that's, of course, never what I feel like is the focus until the day came where it would be matter of fact and true. And then some people say that the government, blah, 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 CIA, FBI, whatever, that they could stage an event where it looks like an alien takeover, Project Blue Beam. That's what people talk about. I don't know if I believe that either because I know if I saw that shit and you've seen it on the news and it looked kind of like, this looks like a bad TikTok video, we'd probably just be like, whatever. So I don't know if we're in a good position or a bad position for some kind of news like that to come out because maybe we would just blend with the other alien race. But if it's seriously some other intelligent form of life that wants to fuck with us and wants to hurt us, then we would be a little more aware of it, I think, by now. And that's what makes me think, no, I don't think so. There must be other life out there. But all this that we hear on the news clearly was like a distractive thing. They just don't know what they were, but there was some object flying, whatever. There's some people that won't put it down, though. They obsess over it day in and day out. They're like, I know what it was. It came out of the ocean, and it's powered by this molecule. And
theories,
you know, I just don't have time for it. And like, bro, God bless their souls. I want to believe too, but I still ain't never seen nothing that's like, bro, that's a green dude. And this shit is like a fucking movie right now. Like, you know, but what's funny about any movie with the aliens, bro, that we've ever seen, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's somehow government influence and intervention at some point, and the United States military always has it on lock. They're the perfect guys to call. They already have an agency for that, a secret agency for that one. They know exactly what to do. The Transformers were in the Hoover Dam. We know exactly everything's mapped out already. But, dude, that is not the case, because literally what they admitted on the news inadvertently was that we don't know everything. We don't even know what these fucking flying objects were. So I don't think they have it on lock, but interestingly, Hollywood was always well-funded by the United States military because they always had to push this message of, like, no matter what, don't forget, they're the biggest, baddest, and if you fuck with the United States military, they will fuck you straight back. And it's kind of like this psychological thing that you look at as they're the biggest, they're the baddest, they would take care of us no matter what. But they also would just funnel us into fucking concentration camps if something popped off, like a comet hit the Earth or something. That's just the way it would be, you know? Oh, yeah. And we'd just be like, oh, well, they're the ones that know what to do. They know what they're doing. Just like Hitler's soldiers just knew what they were doing. We just got to, you know, we just got to do what he says to do, like, and then go walk into the fucking gas chamber. It's some scary shit, bro, because we got to be careful and beware of our leaders leading us in wrong directions. I'm not saying that that's happening tomorrow, and I'm not a pessimistic guy, but sometimes I'm like, yo, we jump into things too fast, which is why we're talking about this at all with coronavirus or UFOs. If we jump into things too fast, bro, and we believe shit too fast, like, we could just be sold right out. The rug can be pulled right out from under our feet, and we don't even realize it. That's how those things happen. That's how World War II happened. And as we get closer to World War III, those things happen slowly like that. It's scary to think. Like, we don't need to be in those situations. We got to be living it up with the philosophy of Marco Vasquez.
Yeah, man. It's just, you know, people, you know, like you said, like, people are going into things too quick. You know, people are jumping. You know, it's kind of, the government, you know, they just want us, you know, they're trying to, like you said, they're the guys who know what to do, but it's like, man, to really trust them and, you know, say what they do, it's kind of hard, you know, because, you know, I grew up with the, if you want trust or everything or anything, you know, you got to earn my trust, you know, and I don't see no way of them earning it yet so far, you know. I can't say that they're, you know, the worst thing to happen, but, I mean, you know, like I say, if you want trust, you got to earn some trust.
Absolutely. We're obviously talking about the leadership because, like, those guys that are just following orders, they're just following orders, sadly. Yeah. It's almost hard to blame the soldiers. Yeah. But, like, when you're talking about the leadership, we're talking about that shit. Everyone keeps getting sent on a wild goose chase from top to bottom, and people get blown up because their life apparently only is worth so much dollars or so much of an influence over a certain area of the world. It's fucked up. It's wrong. But I think you know where I'm coming from, and I need to not go on. Marco fucking Vasquez, bro, we appreciate you. On the Symbiosis Now podcast, on the Symbiosis Now network, we appreciate you, bro, because we've expanded. We got other podcasts coming out, folks. And I'm so grateful to have Marco Vasquez join us and hang out with us and talk to us and share with us so much fucking cool shit to share with. What else you got to say for us, Marco?
I just want to say, man, thank you so much for, you know, having me on, man. I really appreciate it. You know, since I met you, man, you're a cool dude. You know, I just always want to have a little good conversation with you. I haven't had one with you since, you know, you're always working right there. But, you know, you're out there hustling, you know, you're out there working, and, you know, I'm proud to see it, man. I'm happy to see it. You know, there's people out there who are still trying to go out there and get what they want, you know, and I just want to say, man, to everybody out there, you know, just look at Tyler, just look at me, you know, if you really want something, just, you know, if you really want it, go out there and go get it, man. You know, just put in the work, just put in the effort, and everything will fall into place, and, you know, you'll be happy that you do it, and just take a risk. You know, there's a lot of people out there who don't take risks. That's why they're stuck at the jobs that they're at right now, you know, working their 9-to-5s, struggling to get to work. You know, just take a risk. You know, it's gonna all pay out at the end. And you know, you won't see no results if you don't take a risk.
And never trust your fucking government. Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Cut it there. Yeah. Recording now. Yeah. Shout outs, bro. Give your shout outs, Marco.
All right, bro. Let me give a shout out to Day Fade Barbershop, located right here in Ridley, California, at 1430 East Manny Avenue. I just want to give a shout out to all my barber bros out there. Wally, Leo, Eddie, Ernie, everybody out there that works with me. I just want to give a shout out to you guys. You know, everybody who's listening, come check us out. I promise you won't regret it. We're on the come up. You know, it's newer barbershop, but trust me, we're on the come up. You don't want to miss us.
You heard it here, folks. Tell him you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he's just going to make it look even that much cooler when you go to him.
This podcast was created by the Symbiosis Now Network and can be found on Instagram for clips, highlights, videos, blah, 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 at symbiosis.now.network. And you can listen to the Symbiosis Now podcast as well as the Cali Ag podcast on Spotify, Apple, and all the platforms. Listener, be sure to tell your friends about the Symbiosis Now Network.